pray. Everlasting Father, we thank you for the moment given to go into your word. We ask, Spirit of God, that you speak to each and every one of us, every man, every woman, every child, a word in season, a word to uplift, a word to encourage, a word to deliver, a word to set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, happy Sunday to us all. Our weekend has been good and all is going well with us. Today, I'm going to be sharing on the topic of the Wonderful Counselor. You know, have you ever, you know, wanted to get advice from someone, but there was no one you could share your thoughts, your views with? Or have there been times when you've actually, you know, spoken to some people and they've given you advices, and at the end of the day, you ask yourself, why did I even bother? You know, there's some advices folks give and we act on them and we come back and we're like, wow, if only I had known. You know, a sense of regret. I want to talk about the Wonderful Counselor. You know, the phrase Wonderful Counselor, we actually see it in first mention in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this was when the prophet Isaiah was giving a prophecy concerning the Messiah. You know, he said that for unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, usually when we think about that passage, we think about Christmas. We think about the birth of Christ, the Messiah. But you know, we need to look beyond that and ask ourselves. So Isaiah prophesied, he said, you know, one will be born to us that is a Wonderful Counselor. I just want to focus on that first part, the Wonderful Counselor. You know, in some versions, I think KJV said Wonderful Counselor, but it's seen as Wonderful Counselor. So you have a phrase with two parts, Wonderful and Counselor. Now the word Wonderful that is used in that passage, it's actually a translation. In some instances, you see miraculous. You see incomprehensible, beyond understanding. And it's a similar root word that was used in Judges 13, verse 18. You know, when Manoah, the father of Samson, when they met with the angel of the Lord, and he asked, you know, who he was, what's his name? And the angel of the Lord replied and said that, you know, why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? I think NIV says, seeing that it is beyond understanding. So when we think about wonderful, we think something that is mysterious, something that is incomprehensible, something that is so difficult that we cannot figure it out, something that blows your mind. I think that's pretty much it. Something that blows your mind. We're talking about the Wonderful Counselor. It says the angel of the Lord said that, you know, my name is wonderful. It is beyond understanding. It is beyond comprehension. You know, interestingly, a lot of Bible commentators actually say that the angel of the Lord recorded in that Judges 13 was the Messiah. Because the angel of the Lord is the messenger of Yahweh, the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. So it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to Manoah, God the Son. And he said, my name is wonderful. It is mysterious. It's the same angel of the Lord that we see in Exodus chapter 3. You know, the story of Moses and the burning bush. Actually, let's read Exodus chapter 3, and we'll read from verses 1 to 4. Exodus 3, 1 to 4. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.'" Praise the Lord. That is Exodus 3, 1 to 4. We're talking about the wonderful counselor. And we're saying it is wonderful in the sense of he is beyond our comprehension. He blows our mind. We cannot fathom him. We cannot figure him out. Just for a moment, think to yourself, what happened with Moses? So he's a shepherd. He's tending the flock, looking after the sheep. And you see a bush. I'm actually where I am right now, looking out of the window. There's a massive tree, you know, that I see. And I can just imagine the tree burning, but yet not burning. I can imagine, you know, a fire, and there's nothing, the tree is not being consumed. Just think about that for a moment, how awesome that sight will be. And it would, because we've read it over and over and over again, we've been taught it in Sunday school as children. We know the story. We're so familiar with it. I'm not sure that sometimes we actually think about, you know, the magnificence of what that sight would have been like. A bush burning and yet not being consumed. Fire within it and yet not being consumed. How awesome that sight would have been. And how mind-blowing it would have been. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. So it wasn't around it, within it. So you can see that from the core of it, there was fire at the core, but the bush was not burning. And that was what got Moses' attention. I made him think, wow, I've got to check this out. I've got to check it out because I can't imagine how, you know, how this thing happens. For a moment, just let your mind, let your imagination run wild. Let your imagination run wild. And even as far as your imagination can go, you still cannot figure God out. That is why he is wonderful. You know, one of my favorite verses, actually, it's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. That verse says that, you know, to him who is able to do, some versions say exceedingly, others say immeasurably, above all that you can ask or think, by the power that works in you, in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him, to who? To God the Father. To God the Father, who is able to do immeasurably without measure. You cannot quantify it. You cannot determine it. It is more than you can ask, all that we can ask or imagine. Some version says more than we can ask or think, according to his power that works in us. So what can you think about? What can you imagine? As much as you can imagine, he's saying that there is one that is able to do so much more. He's able to do so much more, you know, according to his power that works in us. The word power used there is the same word, dunamis, dynamo, come from the word dynamo. You know, it's actually called dynamin. And it's the same word that is used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when, you know, Lord said that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the miraculous power that the Holy Spirit allows, says to him that is able to do exceedingly above all that you can ask or think, all that you can imagine, all that you can ask, according to his power, his miraculous working power that works in you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. You know, praise God. Even in that passage, we see the mention of the triune God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God, through his Holy Spirit, is able to do so much more than you can imagine when we abide in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's able to do so much more than you can think about, as far as your imagination can go. He's able to do so much more by the power of his Holy Spirit as we abide in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, tell me, how wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? The wonderful Counselor. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we started off talking about counsel and how, you know, sometimes I think it's just the reality. You talk to some folks and they give you advice. And the advice they give you, sometimes, you know, you take with a pinch of salt. Some you just discard because it doesn't just make sense. And some you act on and you come back and you're like, if only I had known. A counselor is someone that gives advice, someone that provides guidance. So who do we go for counsel? Who do we talk to when we need advice? When we need to put a plan in place, who are we talking to? Amen. We have Jesus Christ. It says he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. You want to get counsel from someone that knows it. Someone that's been there, that's done that, that's got the t-shirt. And that's Jesus Christ. It doesn't then mean that we cannot take counsel from individuals. It doesn't mean we cannot take counsel from other people. I mean, I believe it's Proverbs 11:14 that says that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. But I always qualify that and say godly counsel. We need to get godly counsel, the right counsel, because some people, the advice they give, well, you know, can a blind man lead a blind man? The Bible says that if that were the case, they will both end up in a ditch if the blind is leading the blind. So where do we get our counsel from? Who do we speak to? There's a fascinating story about a counselor in the Old Testament. Like I said on Friday, I've been going through the Old Testament recently. And honestly, I love the book of Kings, Samuel, and Kings, because it talks about the kings of Israel, the leadership of, you know, the various leaders. There's so much we can learn from, you know, those individuals. This particular counselor, we see his story in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And many of us will be familiar with it. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we see the story of Ahithophel. Ahithophel, the counselor. Now, this guy was a counselor for both David as a king and his son, Absalom. You know, oftentimes we talk about David, and we know that David was a man after God's own heart. But, you know, but for God's mercy on David's life, now I look at that guy and I'm thinking, that guy really, he had a dysfunctional family. His one son raped the half-sister. That was Amnon. You know, so one son raped the half-sister, Tamar. Another son openly rebelled against the father, Absalom. Another son schemed to become king while the father was still on the throne, Adonijah. And another son, even though he started so well, you know, pretty much missed his way because he was just such a womanizer. I'm sure you can guess what I'm talking about. Solomon. And all these guys were in the same family. But thank God for God, for the grace and mercy he shows to us. But for God's mercy on David, I mean, you can imagine brother trying to kill brother, son trying to kill father in the same family. Wow. Anyway, that's a story for another day. So in 2 Samuel 15, we see the story of, actually, it starts with when Absalom tried to usurp his father. He openly rebelled against the father. Let's read from verse 1. We'll read the first 12 verses. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I read 2 Samuel 15 from verse 1. It says, in the course of time, Absalom provided himself a chariot and horses with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gates. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Oh, your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom will say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." That is, he's not an adopted son. This is the real son, blood son. And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice." Can you imagine that? This is a son to the father. The father was in the, you know, in his palace. The son was by the gate. People wanting to keep called to see the father, the son would stop them and tell them, "You know what? There's nobody to, you know, to listen to your case, but I will." He reminds me of his forebear, Jacob. This guy was a trickster of the highest order. Verse 5, he says, "Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him." Absalom behaved in this way towards all Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord. While your servant was living at Geshur in Aram, I made this vow: if the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship him in Hebron. The king said to him, go in peace. So he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribe of Israel to say, as soon as you hear the trumpets, the sound of the trumpets, then say, Absalom is king in Hebron. 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom. They had been invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. You know, it's why I find that fascinating. He said that the conspiracy gained strength when Ahithophel was called. Like we said, Ahithophel was a counselor. He was David's counselor. But Absalom saw that it was good to have this guy in his camp. Now, I can only imagine that when Ahithophel went over to Absalom, there must have been some serious concern from David. There must have been serious concern from David. Because verse 31 says, now David had been told Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So David prayed, Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. He didn't pray about anyone else. He didn't pray about all the other people that had gone with him, that had gone with Absalom. There would have been mighty men. There would have been influential people. There would have been people of power. I'm sure there would have been other counselors. But when he heard that this particular counselor had gone with Absalom, what he did, his recourse was, go to God. Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Now, how many of us have prayed that prayer at one point in time or the other? Oh Lord, every counsel of Ahithophel, we come against or turn to foolishness. A lot of us, to be honest, a lot of us have prayed that prayer. Turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Okay, praise the Lord. The reason why David might have been afraid of Ahithophel's counsel is actually seen in 2 Samuel. Actually, yeah, 2 Samuel 16, verse 23. You know, the Bible tells us that this man, that when he gave counsel, it was like people had spoken to God directly. It was like people were literally getting advice from God. So you can imagine, bearing in mind, God knows all things. God sees the future. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. His counsel cannot be wrong. So if the Bible tells us that someone gives, you know, had such a reputation, that when he gives counsel, it was like you've heard directly from God. That's enough to make any enemy or anybody on the wrong side of that man to be concerned. You know, 2 Samuel 16:23 says, now in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. So it was as if you've spoken to God, God has given you the word. So if you run with the word, you're assured. This was the kind of man that Ahithophel was. Well, Lord, you know, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Is that the prayer we should be praying? Maybe we actually need to redefine how we pray that prayer. Because if there is someone, an advisor, like Ahithophel in our lives, you know, we say that in the multitude of godly counsel, now that's me saying, not what the Bible says. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. But the counsel there is godly counsel. So if there's someone that God has placed, you know, around us to give us godly advice, we really want that. Do you know that if Absalom had listened to Ahithophel, he would have been king in record time. He would have been king, and there's nothing David would have been able to do. But for God who was on David's side, Ahithophel gave Absalom sound advice. And Absalom, you know, neglected that advice. But that was because God had orchestrated it. David prayed that God should turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. And he sent another advisor, another counselor, Hushai, to go and join Absalom so that he could counter whatever advice Ahithophel gave. So that, thank God that, you know, it is God's counsel that will stand. And for each and every one of us, I pray that no matter what counsel others might have been given or saying, that it is God's counsel that will stand in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Every counsel that is not of God, that is being made that is not of God, will not have sway in your life in Jesus' name. You know, sadly, in the case of Ahithophel, because I'm sure this guy knew himself, he knew his reputation. He gave a sound advice, and the Bible tells us that in 2 Samuel 17:23. That because his advice was not received, was not heeded, this guy killed himself. You know, we see in 2 Samuel 17:23, it says, when Ahithophel saw that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey and set out for his house in his hometown. He put his house in order and then hanged himself. So he died and was buried in his father's tomb. And that is so sad. And I think that's another lesson for another day. How do we deal with rejection? How do we deal with, you know, disappointments? The first advice was received by Absalom. He gave a second advice, and because God used Hushai to counter that advice, this man went and killed himself. We that we give advice, how do we react when our advices are not taken? Food for thought. I asked myself several times, why would this guy go kill himself? And, you know, he seemed bent on destroying David. That's all I could come to that. You know, Ahithophel was bent on, you know, David's destruction, because his advice, he told Absalom that, you know, David will be utterly wiped out. Quick fire, rapid response, he's done and dusted. There'll be no war. If that advice had been taken, David would have been dead. Absalom would have been king. Ahithophel would have continued to, you know, to counsel Absalom. I suspect that there might have been some family issues involved in that regard. Because apparently Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Because that's what some schools of thought say. And if you remember, Bathsheba was the one that, the wife of Uriah. So we see that in 2 Samuel 23:24, there's a man mentioned there, Eliam. Eliam was one of David's mighty men, and we're told that it was Ahithophel's son. But we also know that in 2 Samuel 11:3, Bathsheba was listed as the daughter of Eliam, who married Uriah, another of David's mighty men. So there's enough conjecture there for us to say that actually, you know, there was a relationship between Ahithophel and Bathsheba as a, you know, an in-law. Sorry, with Ahithophel and Uriah as an in-law, but also as Bathsheba's grandfather. Now, for whatever reason, his advice was not taken. He killed himself. What do we do when we give advice and it's not taken? But we look at the man he gave advice to, Absalom. Because the advice was not taken, ultimately, Absalom also perished. My prayer is that, you know, we will get godly counsel, godly advice, and as we get the godly advice, we will heed. Because, you know, it's one thing to hear what God is saying. It's another thing to act on what God is saying. And my prayer also is that anything that is not of God, any counsel that is not of God, wherever they may come from, even if it is, you know, the devil coming as an angel of light, because he does that, anything that might be presented as being of God that is not of God, will not stand in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We're talking about, you know, Jesus Christ as our wonderful counselor. He's the ultimate counselor, the one we should go to for counsel. But he has also, you know, he has put folks in place that will give godly counsel. Let our ears be attuned to hear what God is saying and to act on it. In Isaiah chapter 11, we see another instance of, you know, Isaiah prophesying of the Messiah, Isaiah 11. And it says that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots. A branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit resting on Christ. And what did he say about the Spirit? He says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of Yahweh. So not only is Jesus Christ a wonderful counselor, he is endowed with God's Spirit, you know, wisdom and understanding to know what is right, what to do at the appropriate time. What is right to do at every point in time? Wisdom and understanding. Counsel and might. He advises us as, you know, is right. But not only does he advise, he equally has the strength to make sure that his word that he has said concerning us comes to pass. So, on the one hand, he gives us direction. He leads us the way to go. But on the other hand, he makes sure that everything we need to for the word he has spoken to be established, he also puts in place. And he has the power, the might to back that. And he knows the Father. So he thoroughly knows the Father. Says the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He thoroughly knows the Father. So who else can direct us more rightly? He has a spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, I say that, you know, there's little wonder that in Romans 8, verse 1, Paul was saying that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, you read through that passage, Paul extols the value of living a spirit-led life. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you're living a spirit-led life. Who can, you know, what can go wrong? He rounded up that passage by saying that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is the one giving you counsel, who can stand against you? And that Romans 8 kind of rounds up by saying that, you know, we are more than conquerors. You're more than a conqueror because of him who loved you. We're more than conquerors through him that has loved us. He loves us so much. He's there for us. He's there to guide us, to lead us. And because God is for us, he says, who can be against you? Certainly no one. With God, you're in the majority. With God, you're in the ascendancy. With God, you can go, you can do no wrong. He's the one that gives the wise, wonderful counsel, the counsel that blows our imagination beyond all we can ask or think. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what you might be going through, you know, at this present point in time. But you need to know the Lord. You need to be with the Lord. If you don't know him as yet, if you're not having that kind of relationship with him, if you're yet to have a relationship with him, that is the first step. You want Christ to be your wonderful counselor, the one that is able to give you advice that is beyond your imagination. You first need to have a relationship with him. And this is the opportunity to do so. This is the opportunity to do so. There's so many of us, we need sound advice. We need sound advice, but who can give that advice to us? It is Jesus Christ. Why don't, if you're in that position, why don't you just pray for yourself? Ask him, if you're yet to have a relationship with him, ask him into your life. Declare with your mouth that he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you do that, you'll be saved. And that is the first step. You need to be saved in order to enjoy the wonderful counselor, in order to, you know, benefit from the counsel that it gives, the counsel that cannot go wrong. And peradventure, you're here, you're listening to my voice, you're listening to me. You're saved, you know you have a relationship with him, but you're not experiencing that divine guidance. Why don't you ask him to reveal himself to you all the more? Why don't you ask him to make his counsel known to you? Can we just, you know, bow your heads wherever and just say a word of prayer? If you fall into that first category, why don't you declaim as Lord? Why don't you declaim as Lord? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. If you're struggling, if you're not quite experiencing him as a wonderful guidance, as a wonderful counselor, as the one that is guiding you. If the road just seems rough and you seem to be finding it difficult to know the way to go, to choices to make, the decisions to make, why don't you pray to this wonderful counselor that he will reveal himself the more? He's the one that is filled with wisdom and understanding. He has counsel and might. He has knowledge and he knows God. He is the truth. He is the word of God. He is the embodiment of God. He is God the Son. Why don't you ask him to make clear the path for you to go, the path to walk, the choices to make? His counsel is not the one that you would come back and regret, because it makes all things work together for good. And you're more than a conqueror because he has loved you. If he is for you, no one can be against you. If you're living a spirit-led life, no one can supersede you. No counsel, contrary to his will, can take hold in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Everlasting Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We thank you for that which you've spoken into our hearts beyond the word that is shared, Lord. We ask, Spirit of God, that you continue to teach us to speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We bless your holy name, God, because you're the wonderful counselor. Lord, we pray for everyone listening to my voice this day, Lord, that beyond our imaginations, Lord, you will perform that which you will in our lives in Jesus' name. That you will help us, O Lord, to hear from you, to trust in you as our counselor, as our advisor, as our guide. That we will not lean on our own understanding, that we'll acknowledge you in all our ways. And as we acknowledge you, Lord, that you continue to direct our path. We pray, Father God, for all those that you've put in our lives, that you've given divine counsel for our sakes, that they will manifest, that you'll help us, O Lord, to speak to the right people, people that will edify and not bring down in the mighty name of Jesus. As your word says, that in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. As we seek godly counsel, we'll find safety in you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father.